Okay, hopefully we're going to have our key verse up on the wall again. It's literally up on the wall and wonderfully built by assistants down here this morning as well. And we're going to just say that verse all the way through again, because it is our key verse for this morning. So, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. And again, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3, verse 5. You can always rely on the old-fashioned version down here if the screen keeps flicking on and off, for those of us that can see it. So there we go. Right, I'm going to talk for a few minutes now, and if we've got one or two children who might be a bit restless, then there are some things over on the side there for you to do, including a little sheet with the key verse on it. But hopefully there's enough in here for you all to enter into what's going on. But if you think your children are going to be a little bit restless, then do take them on over there just for a few minutes, and then we'll all come back together again a little later on. So, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? There was a lad at school. He was quite a mischievous sort of lad, a bit cheeky. We'll call him Charlie, shall we? Perhaps 10, 11 years old. We may even have some similar sort of Charlies here this morning. And he was at school, and it was an RE lesson, and his teacher was talking. And his teacher said, Charlie, can you tell me who knocked down the walls of Jericho? And Charlie looked a bit panicked because he hadn't been listening. But anyways, but well, miss, it wasn't me. And his teacher was a bit sort of irritated by that, really, as those of us that are teachers will know. And so he'd been showing a bit of a poor attitude. So as Mum came up to pick him up after school, teacher just went out to the playground and said, can I have a word? I'm just concerned about Charlie, you know, his attitude and just the things he's been saying. And today when I asked him whether he'd knocked down the walls of Jericho, he said it wasn't him. And his mum was quick to his defence and said, well, look, if my Charlie said he didn't knock down the walls of Jericho, then he didn't do it, all right? And he promptly was swept up and walked off with Mum. Ah, so the teacher was not best pleased, but anyway, it was parents' evening the next night, so that was okay, because Charlie's dad was coming along. So next night, it's parents' evening, and teacher and parents sitting opposite the table. And teacher just says, I'm a little bit concerned about Charlie. And I did ask him, you know, who knocked down the walls of Jericho, and he said it wasn't him. And then when I sort of asked your wife about it, she said, well, you know, if Charlie said he didn't, then he didn't. So dad was thoughtful, and then he said, well, look, I don't want to cause any trouble. Just tell me, how much will it cost to fix this wall? So, that still leaves us with the question, who knocked down the walls of Jericho? Now, has anyone been on holiday recently and visited a castle, perhaps? Yes, some people have. What castle did you visit? Wow. I was thinking about castles you might know. So is it ruined castle, or is it? It's a full-on castle, is it? Okay, got walls and everything around it? Okay, brilliant. Cannons as well, my word. Anybody else visited any sort of old castles? Yeah, which one? Caerphilly Castle. Oh, nice. Yeah, okay, good. Yeah, no, I've not really visited any this holiday, although I have had some in the past I've gone to. Warwick's a favourite of mine. Warwick Castle's a really nice one. Carisbrook on the Isle of Wight, that's a good one too. Perhaps more locally, we've got Framlingham just across the border in Suffolk, haven't we? And of course, Castle Headingham as well. Well, Jericho wasn't a castle, but it was a fortified city. And we've got some pictures up here on the screen. Some pictures to the left as it looks today, as it's been excavated. And then pictures on the right as to how it might have been. And archaeologists have estimated that Jericho dates back to about 9,000 BC. And the children of Israel have been on the move. And they've been on the move for 40 years. And Moses has died, and now Joshua is the one that God has chosen to lead the people to the promised land. So that was in Joshua chapter 4, as they come into the promised land. And they're now in the promised land, but barely have they got into the promised land, and they see a problem in front of them. And that is the city of Jericho. So we're now in Joshua chapter 6 for that, which is what we read with the story a little earlier on. Now, if the Israelites could take Jericho, they would divide the land of Canaan. But it's a difficult city because, as you can see, it's not just protected by one really, really high wall. It actually had two walls. That's what this picture down here shows us. So each of the walls was about 20 or 30 feet thick and high. So when you're standing at the bottom, you had about 8 to 10 stories to look up to in order to get over the walls of Jericho. So it was pretty well protected. And in addition to that, it had a continuous source of water running into it. And archaeologists have also discovered many, many pots, earthenware pots, that were filled with grain. So they were well stocked up for perhaps 6 months to a year to survive any attack. And Joshua 6 also tells us, and we did it, didn't we, that there was a king and many brave soldiers, brave armies, that were also there protecting Jericho. Jericho hadn't existed for so many thousands of years just by accident. It was well protected, and no enemy had yet conquered it. So humanly speaking, defeating a city like Jericho was a tough ask. It was a challenge, maybe even an impossibility. But then I'm reminded by the words that Bart G shared with us a few weeks back when he was here, how because of his disability, he was told that things were going to be tough, it was going to be hard, it was going to be difficult. And his words were, but okay, but not impossible. And of course we know that with God, all things are possible. So, the Israelites needed a plan to defeat this city. Anybody any ideas how you might defeat a sort of a castle in old times, ancient times? Maybe you cast your minds back to history lessons of the past. How might you do it? Any suggestions?
Lay a siege.
Lay a siege? Yep. So you'd lay a siege, try and starve them out. John? Climb up the toilets. Here's a man who really knows his history. So that's it. I didn't know that. Oh, there you go. Okay. Any other suggestions?
Ricochet.
Say that again.
Ricochet.
Catapults. Yes. Catapults. Yeah. So we've got some pictures coming up of how you might normally go ahead and perhaps conquer a city such as Jericho. So yeah, some catapults, maybe some siege towers that you'd line up against the walls, and that would be the normal plan for getting over a big city wall such as Jericho. And you could lay siege and hopefully starve them out at some point. Now, for Joshua and his army, there must have been a terrible temptation just to use brute force and power. Because as I've prepared for this week, I've learned that the estimated population of Jericho was around about between sort of 1 and 2,000. And yet we're told in the Bible that the nation of Israel numbered over 2 million. So that's sort of 600,000 also in the army alone. So they outnumbered Jericho sort of 2,000 to 1, and the army about 600 to 1. So quite a big odds in their favour. But despite the fact that they outnumbered Jericho by those sorts of numbers, that wasn't the plan. There was another plan. It was God's plan, and it was a cunning plan. Now, you're going to have to forgive me a little bit with this as we go on to the next slide. I said it was a cunning plan, and indeed it was. For all you Blackadder fans out there, can you just picture it? Just go with me on this. If this was a Blackadder scene, you know, let's not put Blackadder, let's put it Joshua. So, my Lord Joshua, I have this cunning plan. Goes like this. We're going to take all of the priests, seven priests with seven trumpets, then priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant, and then all the people are going to be behind them, and we're all going to march around the city once for one day, blowing trumpets, but the rest of us have to be silent. Then we'll do that for a second day. Then we'll do it for a third day. Then we'll do it for a fourth day. Then we'll do it for a fifth day. And then we'll do it for a sixth day. On the seventh day, we'll do it seven times, and at the end, we'll all shout. What do you think, my Lord Joshua? And if the Lord Joshua was anything like Lord Blackadder, he would say, yes, Baldrick, it's a stupid plan. And probably clip him round the ear and send him back to wherever he was. However, it wasn't a stupid plan, because actually, that was God's plan. God's plan was to do just that, to march around the city, to march with trumpets, to march with the people being silent initially, and then on the last day to go around seven times to shout for all they were worth, and then the city was going to be given into their hands. In other words, it was a plan that meant they had to put their trust totally in God and what God was saying and how God was going to do it. They had total dependence on the Lord. And perhaps the greatest battle maybe that Joshua and his men might have had to fight that week was not the one on the outside of them, not the walls that they could physically see. It might well have been what was going on inside of them. It might have been knowing that it was hard to follow God's plan because it's pretty unconventional, and they had all the power, they had all the men. Why can't we do this the normal way? So actually, probably the most successful thing of that week was perhaps that the Israelite people did as God said. They trusted what God was saying. So what's the point or the purpose of this story? Why is this story as it is? Why did it happen as it did? The walls came tumbling down. Was it because Joshua was a great new leader of the Israelites? Was it the shouting of all the people, the trumpets and the vibrations, the noise? Was that sort of made the walls a bit shaky and down they came? Was it all the walking and the marching as they went round? Did that sort of shake the foundations and everything fell apart underneath? Was there an earthquake? Well, let's consider what the Bible says. Because we go into the New Testament from the passage that we had earlier on from Joshua. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 11, we read this, verse 30. It was faith that made the walls of Jericho fall down after the Israelites had marched round them for 7 days. Faith brought the walls down, the Bible tells us. And Hebrews chapter 11 is entirely devoted to faith and great victories that are won by a great long list of Old Testament leaders who were faithful. And if we read on, a little later on, verse 6, it says this: no one can please God without faith, for whoever comes to God must have faith that God exists and rewards those who seek him. What is faith? Faith is confidence. It's trust in God. And it causes us to obey him or to wait for him or wait on him. And if you study those heroes of Hebrews 11, you'll find men and women who had confidence and trust in God. They obeyed whatever he told them to do or waited on him. And as a result, they saw God do great things. That's why perhaps God gives us walls like Jericho, things in our own lives to overcome, things we might really want to see happen. God wants us to trust him. God wants us to wait on him. And ultimately, it's going to be God who is glorified through our trust and our faith in him. So as we come to wind this up, we've had three P's so far. There was Jericho, that was the problem. There was the plan that God had. And then there was the purpose of the point of doing it that way. And so a final P is promise. It's back to our key verse, really, which we'll see in just a minute. God has a plan for every problem. And he has the power to see that his plan always gets done. However, what's often lacking is our patience to wait upon God and his perfect timing. Or maybe it's our lack of complete trust and confidence in God. God could have torn the walls down the very first day, but he didn't. And he didn't do it on the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, or the sixth day. God wouldn't be hurried. The Israelites could have prayed for an earlier conclusion until they were blue in the face, but nothing would have happened. It was God's will that the walls came down on the seventh day after they'd gone round it seven times. Joshua and the people had decided at any point, if they decided that they were going to do it differently, do it their own way, I think they probably would have failed. But as they waited upon the Lord and were completely obedient and trusted him, God brought the walls down with nothing more than a shout. So, for each of us personally, I wonder how it is for you, for me, today, at a personal level. Perhaps today is a day for you to shout at something that you've been praying for a long time. Maybe today's a day still for you to wait. The shout's not there yet. And what about us as a church? A challenge, perhaps, as we go into a new church year, as we come sort of towards the end of the summer break. I'm struck by the way that the Israelites moved as one united body. They listened to God. They trusted God. They followed the lead of Joshua and the priests. They moved as one united people. And look what God did. And how about CBC here today? Are we ready to trust God? To look to his leading? To follow our leaders? To move as one united body into whatever lies ahead? I wonder what God could achieve if we did. And so to our verse again up on the screen. Let's say it together, shall we? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. And the promise that I was referring to really and truly comes in the next verse, verse 6. So let's put verse 6 up on the screen and let's say that as well. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your paths straight.